Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's a theme song for the show that kicks up every Wednesday, 7 o'clock Charlotte time, 4 o'clock Los Angeles time. Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you don't have time to listen to the live broadcast, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of her, kind of less of me, you know, and when God created women, the world was definitely complete. So let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Danielle the Threes, how are you? How can people find you? And a lot to talk about as we're on the road to the NFL draft, little over a week away, but next week is going to get really interesting when we do the show.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to get interesting, Mark. It's already kind of, you know, heating up a little bit. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, FAE underscore novel. Slide into the DMs. Let me know what your draft picks are going to be and what's going on. As for today and what's up, everybody's kind of still doing their visits. We have Hendon Hooker, who was visiting the Giants. Do I think anything's going to happen with that? You know, we just paid Daniel Jones a lot of money. So I think this was just more of a, they've been in touch with him, they've liked him. They were talking to Hooker before we signed Daniel Jones, so I think they were just following up. Anthony Richardson was with the Ravens today. Interesting on that note. C.J. Stroud was in Atlanta. Nolan Smith was in the Cardinals. Deontay Banks was with the Bills. And then another visit to the Giants was Brian Branch. So we have a lot of the guys kind of doing their thing, teams doing their due diligence today, and that'll continue for the rest of the week and into early next week while teams kind of get their war rooms together and start making those decisions. And maybe we'll get some more news on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of it that I'm like, sign him, don't sign him. I really don't care at this point.
Right.
Just, you know, I think Zach Wilson is just sitting there like foaming at the mouth because he's like, I'm all you got now, guys. Ha ha. But I don't really care. I thought the one interesting thing I heard was this Trey Lance, that San Francisco has been fielding calls regarding him for a trade. Now, they didn't put the call out, so let's, like, just be really clear on this. San Fran did not say, hey, we want to trade him. They've been getting calls about him. But the other side to this, which you and I discussed way back, was Brock Purdy is not sure he's going to be able to throw. While he's on target to, you know, with his rehab and all this stuff, he even admits, wow, this injury was a lot more than I thought, and the surgery was a lot more, which you and I discussed after that game. We were both saying, this injury that everybody's like, oh, he'll be fine by OTAs. Yeah, it'll be great. We were both like, no, guys, you know, for all the 49ers that are like, he'll be great. He'll be, no problem. Like, he's going to come right back from this. We discussed it, and we were like, this is a major injury. Do not expect him back by OTAs. They're not even sure now, and he's not sure. At one point, he even said, he's like, I just hope I'm back by midseason. So there's a lot of question with Brock Purdy right now. And now to hear that Trey Lance, they're fielding trade calls for him, I don't know what San Fran's doing. I really, really don't. So I think we should really keep an eye on that, especially as we get closer to the draft. I'm kind of wondering, is San Fran that dark horse with Aaron Rodgers that we've been hearing rumblings about now? Now I'm kind of like looking side-eye at everybody. In Green Bay, I'm looking at the Jets, and I'm just going, geez, guys, you really should be calling Lamar up and feeling him out just a little bit. You really need a backup here because Zach Wilson is not taking you to the promised land, and you've just spent so much money and so much time, like, building up your arsenal for Rodgers. I really think you should be talking to Lamar. I'm just saying. I don't know what you think about that, Mark.
Yeah. Well, you bring up some interesting points, and we got some questions coming in. Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass., big Colts fan, too. He said, did you hear about Shaquille Leonard saying 2022 was the hardest year of his life? I guess the negative voices in his own head. Yeah, the Colts have really gone, you know, when you look at the Colts, this team has gone backwards ever since Andrew Luck decided to say bye-bye. You know, when you looked at them, you know, a couple seasons ago, they were loaded. I don't know what happened to this team, Danielle, but Dalen, I think it's a work in progress. That division's definitely going through Jacksonville.
Yeah, the Colts have really been through a lot, and I do feel for them because they did not have the leadership that they needed. There's been too many changes at quarterback, obviously, and I don't want to put this all on Matty Ice's back. I don't think that's fair to him. You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's always the quarterback. There was just way too much going on there. So I don't want to put it on him. But after hearing, you know, Shaquille Leonard and everything, the Colts need some strong leadership to come in. I don't think that is going to come from a new draft pick, you know, a rookie quarterback coming in. I don't think that there's any rookie quarterback that's going to be like, yeah, let me put this team on my back and go. I think Lamar would actually be a good choice there. You know, as much as I'm saying, hey, the Jets should be talking to him just as a back, like, you know, considering what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, I think Lamar would be a better fit with the Colts. And I think he could do more for the morale of that team. And that team does need a shot in the arm, like a really good one to kind of come in and say, we can do this, and they need to be put up. Because, you know, from Andrew Luck and everything that's happened since then, the Colts need a little bit of a charge. And so I'd like to see something happen there. I just don't know what it really is. I know they have great draft picks and all that stuff. I just don't know if a rookie quarterback is going to come in and really do that for them.
Well, I will tell you, I'm excited in Pittsburgh. You know, being a Pittsburgh boy, my Steelers, Allen Robinson, and the Rams are paying more than half that salary. Only cost them a meager pick. I don't know what the Rams are figuring here, but if Allen Robinson can shake off the injuries, watch out, man. The Steelers are going to be loading up here. And it's quite different. You know, they had two great drafts. They're starting to load up on veteran leadership now before the draft. I like the way the Steelers are going into this year.
The Steelers are always smart when it comes to these off-season moves. They just always are. This has always been kind of where they excel, I think. You know, and I think – I know you're not going to agree with this, but I think the Bears and the kind of blueprinted off what the Steelers do a little bit this season, especially with the Falcons and what they've done with the defense. But I think the Steelers will be in a very good position. I want to see what Pickett has done with his offseason, where he's made those improvements. And Philly, don't get mad at me right now because I'm not comparing Pickett to Jalen Hurts. So just chill for a second. Just hear me out. What I'm saying is that Jalen Hurts did the off-season work. We all wanted to see Jalen Hurts improve in his pocket passing. What I want to see from Pickett is, did he follow Jalen's model in the sense of, we know what Pickett needed to do off-season. Did he make those improvements for us to see Pickett improve and step up as the quarterback, as the franchise quarterback? To where Hurts did exactly. He heard the criticism, and he took it to heart and did the off-season work. Can we see Pickett? Does he have that heart to take the criticism and improve and not let it beat him down? So that's where I'm interested to see what Pickett can do with the Steelers.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I realize, you know, the Redskins now are in the midst of selling, but they're trying they're worried about Daniel Snyder maybe taking some people down, nothing to lose. After he gets all his money, he can open up his own shop and ridicule and take some of his fellow owners down. What do you think of that now? They're asking the league to make sure he doesn't, you know, do something like that. This is pretty scary going on in Washington.
Yeah, I guess they're asking that he can't sue his accusers and he can't go after anybody who whistle blew on him and indemnification and all this other from future lawsuits. And I guess Snyder has reportedly demanded indemnification for future lawsuits and settlements from the NFL and potential buyers. then the NFL or Goodell is saying that he can't go after and sue accusers. And it's this whole mess that's going on. I mean, Snyder's just, he's a POS as far as I'm concerned. Like, this, he's the worst possible thing. He's the worst piece of the NFL and the owners. Like, you look at him and you're just like, yeah, if we could say what's wrong with the NFL, he's a big personification of it, I think. So I am worried to a point of what else is going to come out, because attached to all of this that I think is kind of getting lost is the John Gruden issue, which is still messed up in this entangled, because that's another piece of this. And we have that just went, I believe, to the Nevada Supreme Court today. There was an issue with arbitration where Gruden is being like, no, this should not go behind closed doors. Like, I want this out in the open. And the NFL is fighting that this should be kept in arbitration so we as fans cannot hear what's going on. Because regardless of what you think of Gruden, and we've all got our opinions on what went down. And some people are like, hey, look, he got totally what he asked for. And, you know, whether you think he sent hateful emails or not, I'm not disagreeing with any of that. My whole thing is accountability. So I think we should all be able to hear what exactly went down. Because regardless of what you think and the league, those emails were still weaponized against Gruden, and they're still caught up in this whole Dan Snyder thing. It's still part of that. And so I want to know all of it. Like, let's just get it all out so none of this leaks out later. Like, I just want to be done with Snyder and all of this crap. Like, just let's get the sale done and move on.
Yeah.
But Gruden is still involved in it. So let's just be done. And I think the NFL does, like, Goodell has to be held accountable as well. Let's just put it all on the floor. Let's, like, get it done, look at it, and be like, okay, this is what went down, and finish it. Like, just bury it when we're done. I don't want it coming back out later. You know what I'm saying? And just,
yeah.
It's another thing that just lingers.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, when you look at this whole thing, it really an ugly situation there, but now with, sale of the team will, put the final chapter on this thing. As we give it back over to you, any thought on some of the surprises so far, what we can look for in the draft? Is there any division that you're looking for to really do some damage in this draft? Because I'll give you my take right after you.
I just heard that the Cowboys are looking at Bijan Robinson, the one big running backs, and I'm still confused because then there's talk that Ezekiel, they're holding out, hoping that Ezekiel will re-sign with them. So I'm looking at the Cowboys like, what exactly are you doing at the running back position? That, I'm very confused on what the Cowboys are going to do, because it's like, okay, you let Zeke go because you didn't want to insult him with a lowball offer. Okay, kind of see that. I got it. And you got Tony Pollard. Cool. Understood. But now you're talking to Bijan. I don't see how you're going to get him. I think he's going to go a lot quicker. But, all right, maybe, maybe not. Everybody, we're all kind of in agreement that maybe running back, you know, there's a soft market for them right now. But in the draft, I think he's going to go a little bit quicker. But now you're hoping to re-sign Zeke at, you know, a lower price. I'm confused on what the Cowboys are doing right now, because I think they have other areas that they need to improve on. And cornerback and tight end is a big market right now. And I think they could use a little more help, like the Washington Commanders. You know, I think Christian Gonzalez would be perfect with the Commanders. So I just think NFC East-wise, I'm not sure where the East is going right now in the draft. I know everybody wants the Giants to take Zay Flowers, and I'm still like, why are we taking a wide receiver? I know we need wide receivers. I got that, but the O-line needs so much help. So I'm still not sure. And then for the Seahawks, I'm hearing Anthony Robinson going to the Seahawks as Geno Smith's backup. And let's face it, we all know I'm not a big Geno Smith fan, but I don't know if Robinson with Pete Carroll's the best hookup. I almost see Robinson going to Tampa Bay because Mayfield is not the future of Tampa Bay. So I don't know what
right.
to think about that.
No, I think you bring up some interesting things. And, you know, I want to look at the NFC North, because this is going to be an interesting division. We saw the Bears more or less basically get rid of that pick to Carolina And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Bears, do they stick with Fields here, or do they draft, you know, a quarterback in this thing? Looks like Tua will go to Carolina. I mean, this is an interesting division because we still don't know where Cousins is going to go. We still don't know, but we can surmise that Aaron Rodgers is not coming back to Green Bay. You could bet your last check on that one. And what are the Lions doing? Because the Lions have gotten rid of a lot of good leadership there. I know they've made and brought in guys, but this is a division that's really, really scary in my book. I don't know what to think of the NFC North because, let's face it, you got one quarterback out the door and you got a second quarterback that could be out the door, and that could change two franchises in Green Bay and Minnesota. So where does that leave Detroit that's trying to find themselves and pick up the pieces after a nice finish from last year? And Chicago. They haven't been relevant since, you know, Rex Grossman led them to the Super Bowl. So this is a division I can't figure it out. And if you're a fan of anybody in this division, good luck.
I could see the Lions taking an edge. I've heard, you know, rumblings of Nolan Smith from Georgia, which I kind of like. I do see that for Detroit. So I can kind of see them playing with that. But, yes, they've gotten rid of a lot of veterans. They're trading, and some of the trades don't exactly make sense because, yes, they're getting rid of leadership. And I feel like with the rookies you want to bring in, you need some of this veteran leadership to kind of pull them in. So that,
right,
to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. I've heard Jalen Carter to the Bears. I'm still not – I'm questioning the whole Carter situation because I have not gotten clarity on what the heck went down. So I question that, and his pro day was not great. So there's a lot of things up in the air. So I'm not sure. With the Vikings, just going off of the Vikings, what are they doing there? Like I said, I've heard Cousins is, you know, they're looking to trade. He's on the trading block. So what are you doing with that? Because
the Vikings are different than the Packers. The Vikings, they had a great year. I mean, Cousins led them. By blowing that up, you're basically, you know, the Green Bay situation is Rodgers wanted out. It's been no secret there.
Right.
But if you get rid of Cousins and you ship him to San Francisco or Rodgers goes, people are telling me he's going to the Jets. I don't know. What are the 49ers even doing here? I don't understand that. I mean, they let Garoppolo go. Then they got, you know, Lance there that's injury prone. They got Purdy that's injury prone. So you're holding on to two quarterbacks. You try to bring in a stopgap guy. I don't know what the 49ers are doing. And this is another division, the NFC West, Danielle. That, well, at least we know that Seattle is going to be there because as long, you know, as Pete Carroll's there, the Seahawks are going to be relevant. I can't say that about, you know, the NFC North, but I can't say that about the Seahawks. When you look at these eight teams combined in the West and the North, the Seahawks are the one team that, you know what, out of all those teams, you can count the playoffs for them this year. I think, you know, regardless of Geno Smith's there or not, or I just think that system that they have built in Seattle is amazing. The Rams are having a fire sale. The Cardinals are trying to find themselves. And the 49ers don't know what the hell they're doing. Ever since they brought in Trey Lance there, they could have had Kyle Pitts from Atlanta. They didn't go after that, and they've gone back and forth. And, yeah, okay, you got to the Super Bowl. Who cares?
I think a couple things. Okay. For the 49ers, I don't know what they're doing at quarterback position. I am confused as you are when it comes to the quarterback position. I would have kept Garoppolo because Garoppolo earned his place there. He was somebody you could at least count on. He proved himself. You could count on him. Trey Lance, take the trade. Take the trade. Whatever you're going to get from him, take the trade. Purdy, I don't think we're going to see the same magic. The problem that I think people forget is when there's no tape on you, you can do no wrong. Nobody knows how to stop you. Nobody knows what you're going to do. You're kind of, you know, they joke about Mr. Irrelevant. No, there's just no tape. You're a wild card. You can do anything. And people are like, wow, look at you. Wow, that's amazing. Is he going to run? Is he not going to run? Is he a pocket passer? We don't know. You have the element of surprise. You're Mr. Mysterious. That's great for a couple games. Eventually, we're going to figure you out. There's tape on you now, Purdy. You have to step up. I don't know if you're going to be able to step up. You have this major injury. You're coming back from it. Purdy's a good number two guy right now. I think Garoppolo should have stayed. I think they should have traded Lance, kept Garoppolo, because Purdy's still going to need a veteran to learn from. That's what should have been done. That's my opinion.
Well, Steve from Corvallis, yeah, Steve, no, you bring up some great points. Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, chiming in, said, guys, all the Vikings have is a great logo on their helmet. That's it. And
yep.
Yeah, that logo, and, you know, and now we're getting another logo guy coming in. Who's this coming in? Like, trying to can't pronounce it. Somewhere in Texas, but I don't want to butcher it, and it's Bob. He said the Oilers in the heyday had a great helmet. Well, yeah, we gotta do a show, Danielle, on helmets.
People, yeah, we should do that.
People like that, you know. So the helmet logos are coming out. I will tell you the best helmet, and I don't care what anybody says, just my opinion. The Redskins with the Indian head, I think the best one. And you know, I'm partial to my Steelers too, and. So yeah, helmets are, you know, we'll do a helmet drop for you listeners. We appreciate
we'll do that one day. Yeah.
Comments. We'll do our top five, you know, helmets, and we'll do our bottom five, because I got a couple bottom list ones,
yeah,
too,
so
Danielle.
Sorry, Raven fan. But I don't know. You know what? The defense for the 49ers looks good, but that's what you got. It's the same thing like the Falcons. The Falcons' defense is going to be awesome. I don't know what they're going to do on offense just yet. The defense is going to look good. Can it carry
right.
you? You know what, guys? I really don't know. As for the Seahawks, they're going to look good, but the Seahawks tend to gas out. The Vikings, beat themselves. Look, you can have Jefferson, and he's phenomenal, a great wide receiver. If nobody's throwing to him, it don't matter. It's the same thing with OBJ. In Baltimore, great receiver. Who the heck's throwing to him? We still don't know what's going on with Lamar, and I can't believe that here we are. We're still talking about what the heck's going on with Lamar, and Jalen Hurts just got that amazing contract in Philly. Good for Jalen. Look, I'm happy. I'm happy that it was one of the biggest contracts, and it was a woman who brokered it. Go, girl power. Awesome. Yay. Let's play the Spice Girls, whatever the heck you want to do. I don't know. But Lamar still don't have no contract. I mean, really? Like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it myself.
I'm
you know,
so
go figure.
You know, I mean, he's the highest paid per game, you know, per season quarterback now.
Yeah, well, they gave all the money to Beckham. They gave Beckham all the money, right? How come you couldn't give it to Lamar that proved himself? See, this is what I'm talking about, how teams trip over themselves. They don't quite mm-hmm. understand it. But, you know, this seems to be a big problem here in cities that, you know, it happened when Beckham went to Cleveland. He came to Cleveland, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Mayfield found himself on the outside looking in. Now he comes over to Baltimore, and, boy, it's funny how the Ravens got money to pay Beckham, but they're over here playing nickel and dime with Lamar Jackson. I just don't understand it.
I don't understand that. He's got the ball. You can't – somebody's got to throw Beckham the ball. So
yeah, well, if you don't want him in Baltimore, let him go to Miami. Let him go to Indianapolis. Let him go to Washington. Let him go to San Francisco. Let him go to a city. But to stand here, I lose a lot of respect for teams. I respect the Ravens, but these last few weeks, it's a head scratcher. It's like, what's going on here, man? You can't tell me. Well, you don't have the money because you paid guaranteed money to the Beckham.
Well, that's what I feel like. They're putting Lamar in the corner and being like, shame on you for really trying to stand up for yourself, little man. Like, I don't feel like they're treating him right, but I'm also looking at Lamar going, can you please get an agent now? Please, let's do honey bunch. Like, enough.
Yeah.
I appreciate
that. Well, here we go with, let me get Joey from Bucks County, PA. Because, guys, listen to your show live. Such a great show. Keep up the great work. Are you amazed with the XFL and the USFL going on right now? Boy, what's the NFL thinking? I like it. I just wish there was teams out where I'm at. I mean, what's your take on it? At least in the USFL, I got the Pittsburgh Maulers, so I don't have to put the names in a hat, but my Houston Roughnecks are in the XFL. I like the Bolt Leagues. What do you like, Danielle? It's in your backyard pretty much.
I like the XFL. I'm liking because I like to see some of the players like Josh Gordon, all these guys kind of doing more and having this resurgence. I think Josh Gordon is proving that he belongs back in the NFL as a receiver, as a wideout. I think he's showing everybody, and I wouldn't be surprised if next season he's back in, somebody's offering him because he just looks amazing on the field. And I think it's also showing the NFL that they have a little bit of competition. So I'm liking it. I've been watching it, and I think it's entertaining. So I'm in on the XFL.
It's being presented down in your backyard. I don't want to put it directly in your backyard, but I guess they're splitting up in the XFL and four teams in one city and stuff. That's the only mind-boggling thing, because I think in order to be successful, one, you need to come out to the West Coast. And the other thing is, you know, if we're going to support teams here, the Pittsburgh Maulers and all these teams, the Philadelphia Stars, you know, let's have them in our city so we can kind of waltz down there with the girlfriend, the wife, the family, or whatever. I mean, this is I don't quite understand this, moving four teams to Detroit, another four in this city, another. It doesn't make sense. And if the team doesn't even have a team in the city that's hosting it, well, who gives a crap then?
Yeah, I think they need to spread it out more, you know, between the Guardians, the Houston Roughnecks, the Orlando Guardians, you know, things like they could be spreading it out. But just from a pure entertainment standpoint and seeing some of these players, that maybe got shafted a little bit or thrown out, you know, regardless of Josh Gordon's issues and things like that, you know, there's some ex-Giants in there. I think it's nice to kind of see more of the athleticism play out. So I'm in on it. I wish it was spread out a little bit more, but I think it will grow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, that's the thing. Now they got the 3-point conversion. They'll be at it. I mean, it's just I like it, but I don't know what to say. What these teams are going to, basically do. The NFL is how it's looking at it, but should be interesting.
I don't think they're worried about it necessarily. You know, I don't think the NFL is like, ooh, the XFL, they're right on our tails. I don't think it's anything like that, but I think the XFL you'll see a female coach before we see anything in the – I think you'll see more opportunities for females in the XFL before you'll see it in the NFL, and I think that's what could possibly push the NFL a little bit and kind of, you know, because if the XFL does it first, I think that those are the moments where the NFL will go, huh, okay, they did it. That's where I think the XFL will really kind of make the NFL stop and go, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And some of the rule changes, I think, you know, for safety and things like that could make the NFL kind of stop and take notice a little bit more.
Right. As we wind this thing down, final take in the last, give me 10 seconds, what you're looking for next week will be a day before the draft.
I think I'm mainly looking for who's going to be making some moves. I think next week we're going to ramp it up, and then I think we're going to start hearing some stories about some stuff that has been covered up. So I'm kind of going to be glued to my teams and see who's making some moves, and is anybody hijacking anybody's spots? Yes, Philly, I'm looking at you with certain wide receiver moves that you made against, you know, New York. Not that I'm mad or anything. So, yeah, I'm going to be looking and seeing if we're making any enemies and, you know, what's going on and old rivalries popping their heads up. So that's what I'm excited for next week.
Well, that's exactly what I'll be excited for as we wind this thing down. Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Hit me up on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, F-A-E, underscore novel. Slide into the DMs. Let me know what your draft picks are and what you're looking for next week.
Well, she's Danielle Orsino, the straw that stirs the drink here. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time, the day before the draft, and it'll be exciting. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Tell all your friends. We've been picking up steam here. We're just so grateful. Till next week, have a blessed and safe week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.